Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
You shall receive power. Now, underline that word power, if you don't mind, or put that word in your notes. Because this is the crucial word in this verse. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has come upon you, which of course we know is going to happen in 10 days on Pentecost. And Jesus says, you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I do not like to allegorize Scripture unless Scripture does it itself. And I think most of you have heard this verse allegorized to mean that for you and I, Jerusalem is Tulsa, or whatever city you may abide in. Judea is our Oklahoma, or whatever state our television may abide in. And then Samaria, that may be the United States. And then to the ends of the world. Now, that sounds good from a missionary's perspective, and I've got nothing against that. That, of course, is our prerogative, to take the gospel wherever we can. But that is not what this verse says. This verse says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And after those three have been completely covered and converted, then where were these Jews to go? To the ends of the earth. But now, from what I've taught you coming up through the Old Testament, even in the last 2.5 hours, everything that Jesus has been speaking and teaching and writing through the prophets has been to what people? To the Jew. And they understood that they had no role to play so far as evangelizing Gentiles until they had the king and the kingdom. And then the Gentiles would flow to Jerusalem, as we saw in Isaiah 2. That's when Zechariah said, and 10 men out of all the nations shall take a hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew and say, we have heard that God is with you. We'll go with you. But not until. So what I'm going to show you here in verse 8 is that Jesus could have. He could have. He didn't. But he could have done like he did in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. He could have stopped after the word Samaria. Because that's as far as this verse is going to be fulfilled, so far as the Jew is concerned. And just read it in that light. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Did the disciples get that far? Sure they did. Sure they did. By the time you get to Acts chapter 8... where does Philip go? To Samaria. And Samaria heard the word. But did the 12 ever go to the nations of the world? Never. I've challenged people for 20 years. You show me one time in Scripture that those 12 disciples had a ministry among Gentiles. They didn't. Why? Because Israel never accepted the king. And so that opportunity was taken from them because of Israel's rejection. All right, now I alluded to Luke chapter 4. Let's go back to it a moment. We did this a few years ago, I guess now. Time goes fast. But you come back to Luke chapter 4. It better be in Luke chapter 4 or I'm in trouble. Yeah, it is. Verse 17, honey. Luke chapter 4. Well, actually, beginning with verse 16, Jesus in his earthly ministry. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. Luke 4, verse 16. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. Now, of course, that was custom. You've got to understand their customs, that a visitor could come in and he could ask to read the Scriptures. Verse 17. So they were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, or the scroll, he found, in other words, he looked for a particular verse that he wanted, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," period. Now let's go back to where he read, and that's in Isaiah 61. Keep your hand in Luke 4 so you can flip back and compare it. Isaiah 61. We'll start right at verse 1. And this is the portion that Jesus looked for until he found it. And then he read it. And it's word for word, remember. So I'm not going to take the time to reread verse 1, but just come down to verse 2. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma." Well, when he read it in Luke, what was the punctuation? A period. But now read on in Isaiah. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and the day of vengeance of our God." What's the vengeance? Tribulation. See? And then what's the next one? "To comfort all that mourn." When will that happen? The kingdom. Now, do you see the procession? He came to his own. What'd they do? They rejected him. And so he says in Luke then, "And he came to the end of to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He put a period and he sat down. Why didn't he finish it? Because he knew the rest wasn't going to happen at that time. He knew that. But you see, now come back to Luke chapter 4, if you will, verse 20. "And he closed the book," or the scroll, "and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." Why? I think they knew what he did with that scripture. He stopped practically in the middle of the verse. And then look what he said after he sat down. "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, could he have said that if he'd have read the whole verse? No, because see, the last part of that verse in Isaiah hasn't been fulfilled yet. And so he knew exactly where to stop. All right, now if you'll come back to Acts, I hope I've made my point. So here he could have stopped at the word Samaria, because that's where it did stop. The Jew and the disciples never did go to the ends of the earth with the gospel of the kingdom, because the nation was rejecting it. All right? But now the secret word here, I said, was power. After the Holy Spirit, now remember that John the Baptist said that when Jesus would baptize the nation of Israel with or into the Holy Spirit, here's the purpose: to give them power. Now, I would like to try to make people think. What kind of power does God have in mind for the 12 in particular and for these believing Jews who will be coming along to carry on where he left off? Now, in his earthly ministry, what highlighted almost every day of his experience in those 3 years? Miracles, signs, and wonders. And what was the purpose? To prove who he was. Now, as he has gone back to heaven, and he is now commissioning these 11 men, and of course one is going to take Judas's place in a little bit, what are they to continue? Well, what he had begun. Even though the Messiah has now been crucified and has ascended back to heaven, what is still the prospect for the nation of Israel? The king and the kingdom. And the only way to convince them would be what? More signs, more miracles, and more wonders. And so this is the reason the Holy Spirit now is going to be poured out upon these Jewish believers, is so that they could continue to see the nation of Israel converted to a faith in their rejected Messiah. Now, let me just jump ahead for a little bit, and we'll come to it several weeks from now, I'm sure. Over to chapter 3. So you just get a little glimpse of what I'm talking about. They weren't concerned yet about evangelizing the whole world. Their chief concern is the nation of Israel, because Israel has to be converted to the last man. And then, come down now to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts 3, verse 19. And so Peter has just again presented a sermon, if you want to call it that, in verses 12 through 18. And then he says in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." See, in other words, believe who Jesus was, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, it's a semicolon, not a period. And so the thought goes on into verse 20. Israel converted, and the times of refreshing would come in. And then verse 20, what would God do? He will send Jesus Christ. Send him for what purpose? Well, he's only have one purpose left. He has now fulfilled the work of the cross. So what's left? To be the king. See? And Peter is saying it plain as day that if Israel would just repent and be converted, God would send Jesus Christ to fulfill all the covenant promises that he'd made to the nation of Israel. Now, you have any doubt about that? Then you come on down to verse 24, just for sake of time. He says, "Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." What days? Well, the days that have just taken place, see? The appearance of their Messiah, his miracles, his rejection, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, and now he's ready to return. And Peter says, all the prophets laid this out. Well, we saw it last week in Psalm chapter 2. Plain as day. All laid out in prophecy. But remember, nothing about the church yet. Nothing about Gentiles saved by grace. All right, then we'll read on. Verse 24, "And all those that follow after, as many as have spoken, told, foretold of these days." And then look at verse 25. "You," and remember he's addressing Jews, "you are the children of the prophets," the Old Testament writers, "and of the covenant which God made with our fathers," our forefathers, those back in Old Testament days, "saying unto Abraham," see why I've stressed that Abrahamic covenant the last 4 years? Everything is resting on that Abrahamic covenant. "When he said unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed, unto you first," the nation of Israel, "unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away," how many? Every one. Not 9% or 10% or 99%, but how many? 100%. And if every Jew would have responded to this message, what could have happened? The king could have returned. Of course, they had to have the tribulation first. And then the king could have returned, the kingdom could have been set up, and Israel could have evangelized the world. My, what an opportunity. And they miffed it. They rejected it. And so what did God do? Well, he converted another Jew. Completely out of any prospect for being a man of God. The least that you and I would have picked, old Saul of Tarsus. Saved him by grace outside the land of Palestine on Gentile ground. Took him down into the desert for 3 years and seminary trained him between the glorified Lord and old Saul himself. And then sent him not to the Jew, but where? To the Gentile. With a whole new program. But we'll come to that later. But now I'll come back to verse 8 once again. And so after the Holy Spirit would come upon them, they were to receive power to continue on with what Christ had been doing in his earthly ministry. Oh, I've just happened to think of another verse. Let's go back to Mark. This is an interesting one. It raises a lot of eyebrows and a lot of questions and, I suppose, a lot of controversy. Well, I don't look for controversy. I don't like to argue with people. All I do is point out what the book says and let the chips fall where they may, as they say. You come back to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and drop in at verse 15. Now, some people like to cop out on these verses and say, well, it wasn't in some of the best newer manuscripts. But you know what? In the oldest and the best ones it is. And we're finding out now that a lot of these so-called best manuscripts are anything but the best. But these verses are in the oldest and most reliable manuscripts. And I was even reading an interesting book on a fellow who had numeralized all of Scripture. And, of course, you know what they do then, where every letter has a numerical value. And then by putting all these numbers together, they come out with a beautiful numerical formula. It's just unreal. But anyhow, he took these verses out and it didn't work. He left them in and everything fell right back in place. So I'm comfortable that these verses are appropriate. They belong here. They are not to be removed or omitted. Verse 15, Mark 16. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking now, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, and that's what it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs, now watch this, these signs shall, that's a positive word, follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, they can drink deadly things, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now it's interesting what various groups do with these verses. I heard one preacher one morning, I just almost laughed, and I don't like to do that, but under serious circumstances. But he began, and he started with verse 16. It was going to be his text. And he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall... And evidently, he didn't study much before he got ready for his sermon. And when he saw what he was running into from his point of view, boy, he backed away like it was a buzzsaw. And he said, oh, we'll stop there. Well, now, why did he want to stop there? Well, he wasn't in agreement with the next part of the verse. And so they just stopped. Now, listen, that is not a valid way to treat Scripture. If you can't use all of a verse... If you can't use all of a chapter, leave it alone. Because you're going to get in trouble if you're going to try to split it and leave part of it out. All right, now then there are other groups that like that part. I'll read on with me. So they can take the verse 17, and these signs shall follow them believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, and they shall speak with new tongues. So far, so good. But now they don't like the next verse. Not right? And so they say, we'll stop here. I'm not about to tell my congregation that they can pick up poisonous snakes. Now, maybe the Kentucky Hill people can do it, but a lot of them don't get away with it either. It's not valid. It won't work. So what are you going to do? Force it? No. You just analyze the whole thing? Now, wait a minute. This is all part and parcel of Christ in his earthly ministry. See, this was appropriate in the Jewish economy because this is exactly what he'd been doing. But it's not appropriate today because the Jewish program has slipped off the scene and something new has come in. And don't try to force these verses. And it's the same way with so much else of the gospel. It doesn't let you tear it out and throw it away from your Bible. Not at all. My goodness, there are so many applications in the gospels that are just as true for us as they were for them. Same way with the Old Testament. But on the other hand, you're going to come up against things in the Old Testament and it causes nothing but problems. I remember years ago reading where someone was decrying women wearing slacks. And he went back and used the verse in the Old Testament where it says that a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. You know the verses. Good heavens! What did men wear in Old Testament days? Tunics and robes, see? They didn't wear pants. Now what's a poor woman to do? She can't wear pants, she can't wear a robe. See how foolish things can get? And so we just have to be discerning and understand that when we read in the Old Testament the things that God hates, drunkenness, misuse of the widows, corruption amongst the clergy, amongst the priests, does God still hate it? Sure He does. And that's appropriate. But when you come to certain things that were written directly to the Jew under the law, don't try to force it. It isn't for us. You can't practice that, because we're not under those circumstances. But we can certainly learn from all this the mind of God, His righteousness, His holiness, and all the rest. And so we have to be so careful how we use the Scriptures. All right, now then, let's come back for just a couple minutes to Acts once again. So they were to receive power to continue on with what Christ had begun with the nation of Israel. And remember, I've shown you that verse over the last several weeks in 1 Corinthians, that the Jew required a sign. Now, all you have to do is just reflect over your Old Testament. Where did the signs and miracles for Israel really begin? Well, when Moses and Aaron went back to Pharaoh. That's where they began. But, now here's a lesson that some people don't want to hear. When Moses and Aaron threw their rod on the ground and it became serpents, which was an act of God, of course, what did the magicians of Egypt do? The same thing. The only consolation we have is Moses and Aaron's serpent gobbled up the serpents of the Egyptians of Pharaoh. But listen, they changed the shepherd's rod into a serpent the same way that Aaron did. And they didn't do it with God's power, they did it with Satan's power. And listen, don't you sell old Satan short. He hasn't given up any of his power. Well, I think I may have made reference to it in our last taping. You know, that's several weeks ago when this gets on the air. I can remember our missionaries coming home from the dark parts of this world spiritually back in the 40s with their little 8mm movies. And I'll tell you what, it was scary, the power that those old witch doctors had. Where'd they get it? Not from God, from Satan. And Satan's power is not diminished one iota. And that's why in John's little epistle, in fact, let's go back and look at it. We got about a minute left and our time's gone anyway, and I don't want to go into another subject with only a minute. But in John's little epistle, in the rear of your Bible, toward the end, 1 John, chapter 4, and oh, listen, now as I'm going into the book of Acts, we're going to be dealing with a lot of this. And I do not ascribe to emotionalism. I think it is detrimental to a spirit-filled life. But just simply take God at His word. And look what it says in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God. Now, how are you and I going to determine whether something is of God? Line it up with a book. If it doesn't line up with a book, forget it. I don't care how good it looks on the surface. I don't care how it warms your emotion. If it doesn't line up with this book, leave it alone. All right, but test the spirits, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And listen, if John thought there were a lot of them at his day and time, which is toward the end of the first century, how many more haven't we got today.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.